Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Morning to you on this Friday. Happy Fridays, everyone. This is Breakfast Business with me, Emmett Oliver, standing in this morning for Joe Lynham. It's been great to get through the week of bad weather, a lot of stories, some violence out in Coolock and all sorts of stuff. Donald Trump at the Republican convention. But here we are heading into the weekend. You're very welcome along. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about Irish drink exports. Why are they under so much pressure? And of course, we're also hearing that Pernod Ricard has sold its entire wine business. So what's happening in the alcohol industry? We'll also be talking about very interesting thing with influencers and why their advertisements are coming a cropper and not properly regulated or not adequately enough regulated even. And finally, we'll have beside me here Kate English to talk all about markets and all the other news that's breaking. Good morning to you, Kate English, who is a director at Deloitte.
Good morning.
Kate, thank you for coming along. I know it's early. You've got your water, which is great to see beside you. Let's start off with overnight's news, which is the freshest news, which is Netflix, a company and a brand we're all interested in. We, most of us at least, have a subscription, or it seems that way. Some of us even have two on the same one, but let's not tell the company about that. Good new subscriber figures, adding over 8 million new subscribers, and it's all about Bridgerton and also Baby Reindeer as well. They're the two that are pushing those numbers.
Yes, so we were waiting yesterday for earnings results to be released from Netflix, and we got that yesterday evening. And I suppose the key from it was that it bet market expectations. And that expectation really did lie around those new subscriber figures. So as you said, about 8 million added during the quarter, with expectations sitting at about 4.5 million. So that is a lot of new users added to Netflix, particularly, as you said, when they are beginning that crackdown, I think, on the sharing of households. And we're seeing that growth in new markets for them as well. And I suppose an element of why that growth was there has been put down to some of the key shows that they had on the subscription channel during the last quarter. But there's also been a shift, I think, in some of their strategy, or certainly was announced yesterday with their earnings results. And that is to move away from the metric being how many new users are being added, and actually more to, well, how much screen time are they accounting for? Your linear TV, as they call a linear channel, or your TV still
TV in the corner of the room to us,
still,
yeah,
accounts for the largest proportion of screen time within the US, about 80%. And after that, your Netflix accounts for about over 8%, and your YouTube at about 9%.
It's very much the triumph of marketing, isn't it, in the sense that this Netflix juggernaut, we talk about them all the time. But as you said, most people in most houses in the US are watching old school linear television.
Yes, absolutely. And there is an element as well of bringing through some advertising revenue to the streaming network too, which is a shift from what it would have had previously. But I think really what we look to with all of these data indicators that come out, or results that come out, is they are indeed an element of consumer demand, and they're giving us an indication of a consumer that's still willing to spend on these certain type of products.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Netflix is they're a new media, they're relatively new on the scene, but they do start looking a bit old in the sense of they're looking for advertising, which is kind of an outmoded idea for a lot of streaming and social media services, of hiring just in ads from big brands, consumer brands and so on. But equally, they're going, hang on, this is a pot of money that is there to be tapped. They've now got, as you said, two types of subscriptions. So advertising, which they would have disdainfully avoided years ago, they seem to be embracing, knowing that that is a way to further growth.
Exactly, as you say, a way to further growth. And there's, I suppose, an expectation that there is a saturation in terms of its subscription users in some markets, and that will continue in other markets. There's only so much growth that can be got from new users being added, and therefore it's giving them another revenue stream that we have seen in other industries and businesses as well. So it's not surprising that they've gone that route eventually. And as we said, some of the focus is going to switch from those subscribers being added to more that revenue business, and indeed that screen time.
Now, before, let me just give the listeners an insight. Before Kate arrived into the studio, I said, will you talk about Bridgerton, because I don't watch Bridgerton? And she said, well, I don't watch Bridgerton much either, so neither of us are ideal for this. But they pick particular shows, they obviously go on a long time, which is great for their customer loyalty and so on. And these shows become identified with Netflix you know, whether they've funded them on their own completely or with other funders, etc. So they are very good at not just branding Netflix, but branding particular shows as well.
Yeah, so and it was particularly called out, those two shows, as you said, Bridgerton and Baby Reindeer. And I'm probably one of the few people in Ireland who has not seen Bridgerton. And after a conversation this morning, I might be guilted to go home and start watching it. But I think an element of that is trying to pick prime shows that will bring that audience or attract the audience to the network. And we did see that even if we look at Emmy nominations that have been announced over the past week as well, that Netflix program received the most amount of Emmy nominations, about 107, edging out Disney and other platforms as well. So that is, I suppose, an element of, as we said, those higher calibre shows that have been on the network in recent times.
Right, let's move away from media, which of course both of us and lots of listeners could endlessly talk about because we're all immersed in it every hour of the day. But let's talk about banking. One of the big issues, Kate, as you know, has been a lack of competition in the Irish banking market. It's heavily concentrated. I think even the banks would accept that themselves, just the figures. But we have seen at the start of a little bit more competition. And one of the banks, I wouldn't say still a household name, but growing a little bit in media visibility is Bank Inter. They've got some interesting figures yesterday. Their mortgage book increased by 51%, which is big enough, at 2.6 billion now. Of lending going on. So that's not a small amount by the Spanish bank. So I suppose at the top level, at the macro level, it's good to see a new player in there. Would that be your sort of instant reaction to these numbers?
Absolutely. I think any mortgage users out there, or certainly people searching for mortgages, are always going to welcome more competition within the market and more choice. That's what consumers always look for, no matter what product it is or what service they're looking for, is more choice. And I think what we saw yesterday, as you said, was the increase in the mortgage book up to 2.6 billion and an increase in profits of about 20% in that first half of the year as well. I think what we're also seeing from this really is, remember, we still have quite a strong mortgage market within Ireland, despite everything that has happened over the past year as well, in terms of that increase in your interest rates. Yes, there's been a little bit of a pullback from your mortgage approval figures and mortgage drawdowns for your second hand or mover purchasers, but we've still seen a really strong first time buyer cohort. And that level of demand has actually increased over the past year and a half or 2 years, rather than fall off, which is actually a little bit different to what we're seeing across Europe. And even it was noted actually by the ECB and Madame Christine Lagarde only yesterday that the second quarter was the first time that we're beginning to see an increase in mortgage demand in Europe in the last month or so, yeah, which isn't necessarily the case within Ireland. So I think some of that growth that we're beginning to come through in these figures from Avant Money, yes, is a reflection of that.
Yeah, and also let me stay on the same subject, lending, housing and so on. One of the things we have seen, which didn't get huge notice during the week, was housing completion figures. And like all these pieces of data, there's some good stuff in there. There's some bad stuff, curate's egg as ever. What are the figures saying? I know that you're a bit worried about one particular element.
Yeah, so it's actually commencements data. So it's commencements data that was released yesterday. And I suppose on a total headline figure, we see that there was a very positive over 33,700 homes commenced in the first half of 2023. And that's up significantly on the same time period of last year, up over more than double. I think it's 117% increase. But I think within that, which was also key, is that the most recent month within that data, so your June figure, so over 1,600 units commenced in the month, which is quite a pullback from where we would have been, and certainly the lowest month that we've seen probably since about 2021. Well, why did that happen? We expected this to occur to some degree. There was quite a significant rise in your volume of commencements in the lead up to the expiration date of your development levy waiver and water refund charges scheme that was in place by the government. That was due to expire at the end of April. So prior to April, when developers were of
surge,
the expectation that these were going to be removed, there was a real surge
so
in your commencements
data. So will we see
data.
this drop in completions down the line? Does one lead into the other eventually, I presume?
Right? Well, no, not yet. What we're saying is that we always expected in May and in June your commencement numbers to pull back simply because so many commencements were pushed forward a month or two.
Borrowed into the future, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. What I'm really looking for now is to see, well, does that commencement number recover as we move towards the latter half of this year? And if it does, then we won't see any impact of that. But the longer that it stays down at that lower figure, the more we would be concerned for that delivery in 2026 time. But I'm not worried just yet.
Very, very, very briefly, as in a few seconds, just a quick view on the ECB holding their interest rates yesterday.
Yeah, what an interesting day
Wide
yesterday.
Wide open what the future might happen, so we don't
Wide
really
open.
Know.
Wide open. We all expected that they weren't going to make a rate change. I think what was interesting from it was that it was a unanimous decision by all council members not to move yesterday. It was very clearly hinted that we have a lot of data that's due to be released between now and September. And that data will help steer what the ECB will do next. Madam Christine Lagarde is
always...
I love
the way you call her madam. I like that.
Really? It's her title.
It is her title. It sounds exotic, you know?
Did not commit to anything as always. And I really liked one point in particular that she made. And this was in the press conference afterwards. She was very adamant of saying that they're looking at data in its entirety, rather okay. than one data point.
We'll see where they get on September. Kate English from Deloitte, thank you very much for coming in very early this morning and digesting all that. Lots of news from both today and yesterday. We really appreciate it.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.